2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Our phone lines are open. You can call us right now, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Something I just would like to mention, since we've had a couple of texters talking about an explosion or a boom in the West Valley or Harriman area. We don't have a lot of information on that right now. We are working to gather that information, and you can send us more texts on that as well if you get any more information that you can help us, send to our listeners. Next listener wants to know, Ton, they're wondering if they have grasshoppers eating the leaves off of their Canadian choke cherry tree. It's about a year and a half old. Wondering what they could do.
Spray it. If it's going to be defoliated, I would just go ahead and get a general like permethrin, bifenthrin, and just spray the tree and see if that helps, because you don't want the tree being defoliated. You know, if it were a little later in the season, it wouldn't be as much of a concern, say, you know, mid-September. But right now, I would go ahead and spray.
Grasshoppers have been kind of a problem this year.
In certain areas, they have been. You know, they're...
I've seen like two or three. So
yeah,
they
I've only seen a few. But where you have areas that border wildland, so out in the Twilla Valley, they can be really bad. Areas of Box Elder County, North Weber County, those areas to where you have just kind of weedy sagebrush, you know, type areas, those are where the Mormon crickets and the grasshoppers are at their worst.
Mm-hmm. So does it matter that this tree is only a year and a half old? Is that going to hurt it to spray it?
No, it's not going to hurt it to spray it. And because it's only a year and a half old, that's why I'm recommending spraying it, because it's not completely established.
Okay. Next listener says they have a strawberry plant in a large pot that has a lot of green leaves and trailers, but no blossoms for strawberries.
If it is a June bearer, that's to be expected. And so without knowing the variety, it will put on a lot of vegetative growth and no berries, because of most strawberries are what you would call June bearers. And if they planted an everbearer, or, you know, there's day neutrals and everbearers, their strawberry production is also temperature regulated. And if it's exposed to temperatures above 85 or 90 consistently, there also will be very few to no berries.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention that another listener says that they felt the explosion that shook their house in West Jordan as well. And again, we are working to get more information for you on that. Next listener says they just purchased a Navajo Globe willow tree. The tag says it's mature size, 20-foot height, 15-foot width. Is this accurate, and is this a good tree to plant?
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Okay, that's what they were wondering. Is that accurate? Would this be okay in a, 0.25-acre backyard for a shade accent?
If the backyard is a quarter acre and they have more property, it would grow. So it would give them fast shade. It's a pretty tree, but is very susceptible to diseases, and it has a tendency to shade out the grass. It's shallow rooted. The branches are really weak, and so they snap out of the tree all the time. The tree self-destruct after about 20 years. So I would not put a globe willow into my yard for those problems, but a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. And we are still getting more texts about that boom that was felt near West Valley. We are here. This listener felt this in their home in Plain City. Not sure exactly what the location of Plain City is.
Plain City's up in North Weber County, West Weber County.
Okay, so that makes no sense to me whatsoever that they would feel it there. But again, we are working to get more.
Not that they are. You can sometimes feel when Thiokol's testing rocket motors, but you wouldn't feel that this far south.
Yeah, it was felt in Kearns. It was felt in Sugar House. So we're getting a lot of texts about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were on the Facebook page, and there were a couple of problems there you wanted to discuss.
Yes, there's one with a cottonwood tree that has weird growths on the branches. And we have a number of native adelgids and what we would call eriophied mites that will get in and cause little, almost like poofball-shaped growths on the tree, sometimes lumps or warts. There's all sorts of things. And when you see a cottonwood with that, it's not harmful. It's kind of ugly, but it won't harm the tree.
Okay. And I want to tell our listeners, we are working to get more information about some sort of boom, or some listeners describing it as an explosion that's been felt across the valley. We are getting texts from all over now. Kaysville, Kearns, Sugar House, felt on the east bench near Skyline High and near Bountiful, felt all over Bountiful. So, you know, this is pretty widespread that people have felt that. I'm kind of amazed that we haven't felt it here in downtown Salt Lake City.
No, I have felt nothing. We're in studio and it's just like nothing here, so I don't know.
Okay, we are going to take a break, come back with more of your calls and questions. Our phone lines are open. You can call us right now, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. We have been getting tons of text messages about a possible sonic boom, some sort of boom that was felt in a number of locations across the valley, from Kaysville down to Highland, Lehigh. We have texters who are telling us that they felt it in Rockport. So very widespread. We are working to get more information for you on this. South Weber Canyon. So, Ton, this is really a widespread area where this was felt.
It was. It looks like it's gone as far away as Lehigh to Rockport. And I really wonder if it is a sonic boom.
Yeah, possibly could be. And again, we are trying to get more information on this. It happened about 8:33 and has been felt for a wide area. Let's go back to our phone lines, and it looks like Randon's on. Good morning, Randon. What is your question this morning?
Good morning, Maria, Tom. I appreciate you taking the call. It's not as exciting as the sonic boom.
I don't know what that is. That's why we have to talk about it. You should see all the text. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard it out. I heard it. It was quite pronounced. But I've got about a 20-foot sycamore that I planted, year before last. And about 2.5-inch, 3-inch. Of course, the deer got to it with their antlers, and I didn't get it protected. And so they've killed it. But I've noticed it now that it's growing new shoots out from the bottom. Do I just cut off the dead tree and let those shoots grow, or do I need to replace the whole thing?
No, you don't need to replace the whole thing, and you'll be amazed how fast those shoots grow. What I would do is just choose one and make that your new tree.
Okay.
So maybe even two or three if you wanted a multi-trunk tree. But yeah, we'll whittle them down literally, and pun intended, to just a few trunks or one trunk and just make a new tree. Then to keep the deer off of them in the future, you're going to need T-post out away from the trunk and some sort of hardware cloth or something around them so that it discourages them from rubbing.
Got it. So just have these shoots audition for me, pick the one I like the most,
and
trim the others off. Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then I'll get the posts out, keep it protected. So sounds grateful good. For the service you provide. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have young columnar oaks and maples. When they prune them, how far apart should the scaffolding branches be spaced?
I think they're worrying about it too much. For a columnar oak or a columnar maple, the tree branches don't get big enough to really become a breaking danger.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal also on them is to usually keep them thick and dense because they're a screen. So if they do need to, and if for some reason they do need to go in and prune, then about every foot to 18 inches, but the need to prune such trees is far less than what you would do, say, for a fruit tree.
Mm-hmm. Next listener says they're flipping their strip in Taylorsville. Would a red privet work? Does it stay red all summer? Does it lose its leaves in the fall?
Privets are generally fine. It just depends on the eventual size of the tree or the bushes. And so the other thing they need to take into account is that the neighbors probably need to be asked, unless you move it out to completely onto your property. You know, I've got a situation to where I put in a hedge between mine and my neighbor's property, and they just finished a basement apartment, and the driveway butts right up against the hedge, and the mm-hmm. people can't get out. So I had to go in and cut back a couple of these bushes by about half, so that the people could get in and out of cars. And so there always is that. And the red privets look like they're going to get 10 to 12 feet. So just make sure you have enough room.
All right. Let's take a call from Ron in East Mill Creek. Good morning, Ron. What is your question?
Second. I have a large English walnut tree that I planted maybe 35 years ago. And it had a buddy next to it that died last year. We took it out, and this one came out beautifully this year. It's the full foliage. It's shading the house. It's wonderful. There isn't one walnut on the tree, and that's never been that way. I don't care. I don't really. I give them away now, but there's no walnuts on the walnut tree. What does that mean?
Probably got hit by frost. Okay. Go ahead.
Because just a neighbor two houses down has got the same walnut tree, and his is full of walnuts.
Well, when your tree doesn't have a single walnut on it, it's not a disease. It's going to be weather-related.
That's good.
And there also could be some bearing issues to where sometimes walnuts develop a situation where they'll bear really heavily for 1 year and then almost nothing the next. There still would be a few, but I think that you might have a combination of things. But whereas the entire tree, it's usually environmental, maybe combined with developing biennial bearing.
Okay, because when this other tree died, it was a walnut tree. We had them come and put iron chelate or whatever that stuff around the base, and they treated this one for borers, and we've done that twice. We want to make sure we keep it. So it sounds like I don't worry about it.
If it's not getting walnuts, but the tree's beautiful, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Second question. We've seen some beautiful low snowball bushes around lately. I don't like big, tall ones that are 8 feet tall and 10 feet tall and all of that. Is there different varieties of snowball that we could go by that would stay down like a 3 foot taller?
Wouldn't they bloom as much? But yes, there are. They're referred to as actually European and American dwarf cranberry bush, even though they're snowball. They're viburnums, but they got the name of cranberry bush, but American or European dwarf cranberry bush.
Are they hard to find?
No, they're very common, but you're mainly going for the foliage effect. They can get flowers, but they're not going to be as profuse as the full-size snowball.
Okay. They do have quite a few.
You might just be seeing plants that aren't mature and haven't grown to their full size. You can use renewal pruning to keep them down a little bit, too. There's a few reasons that they would be smaller, but my first suspicion is they're just not fully grown yet. The second one is people are using renewal pruning that you can keep them down to 5 or 6 feet. Or you may actually be seeing hydrangeas, if they're blooming now, that are, they look like snowball bush, but they're not.
Do hydrangeas bloom much of the summer?
Yes, they bloom in July and August. And you're probably seeing like Annabelle hydrangea, or there's other dwarf hydrangeas that do quite well that are white flowering. That's probably what
you're seeing. Do they stay small?
They do. They stay smaller. So they'll be about a third the size of a regular snowball bush.
Okay, and that's hydrangea. Annabelle hydrangea?
Yeah, Annabelle. But you can go to garden centers and they'll have many varieties. You just need to make sure that it's, the Latin name is arborescens. And it's A-R-B-O-R-E-S-C-E-N-S. Arborescens.
Arborescens.
Yes, and that particular species does well here. The other one that has a slightly different shaped flower is panicled hydrangea, and there's several new dwarf varieties of it out too. So panicled hydrangea is the other one.
Arborescent and panicle?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. I'll go write that down.
All right. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for
very
your
much.
Call this morning. We have been talking for the past half hour about a boom that was heard pretty widespread across the Wasatch Front. We are getting other information, still getting a lot of texts on this, Ton. One listener, Derek, saying that he saw a meteor going across the sky at a low altitude, then heard the boom that, you know, might have been an explosion. Another listener sending us to a link from NASA, which talks about a possible asteroid coming towards Earth today. Now, we have not confirmed any of those things. All that we can tell you is that we are trying to get more information on this right now, and we are getting texts from across the Salt Lake Valley, across the Wasatch Front, about a boom that was heard at 8:33, and we're going to continue to try to find more information for you. When we come back, Ton, what is our top of the hour feature?
Peaches.
And?
We're going to talk about peaches.
What about peaches?
Well, they're on right now, so get them at local stands. But I've got a fact sheet we're posting on different varieties and things like that. But we just usually celebrate peaches.
Is it a little early for peaches? My peach tree doesn't, they don't ripen until like September.
Yeah, there are, the commercial growers have peaches ready to go.
Oh my
goodness. And local stands.
All right. And a lot of great farmers markets underway this morning. I know there's one in Murray, one here in downtown Salt Lake City. And again, we're going to keep you up to date on what is happening with this boom that was heard across the Wasatch Front. I was looking at the text, Ton, and they are coming from all over the place. Orem, Linden, American Fork, we mentioned Rockport, Pleasant Grove. So a lot of people felt whatever that boom was this morning.
Yeah, I wonder if it is a comet or a jet. It's one of those two things to be that widespread.
And again, we are working to confirm exactly what that is. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. You can call us at 801-575-8255.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.